Anybody need a word this morning? Somebody here need a word this morning. And if you have your Bibles, look with us to the book of Jeremiah. And we want to look at chapter 29, Jeremiah chapter 29. And we want to begin reading around verse 10. When you found it, please say amen. Jeremiah 29. Beginning reading around verse 10. And the word of God reads on this order. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all your heart, will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into this place where I've called you to be carried away captive. And this morning I want to use for a subject. There are no promises that God can't keep. There are no promises that God can't keep. Now, everybody knows what the word promise means, don't we? The word promise is a seven-letter word that can be defined as the reason that something is done or the reason that something exists or is used. And everybody can recall being made a promise. As a child, parents would make you a promise and say, boy or girl, I'm going to get you that bicycle. And you would run and tell your friends that mama and them said that they're going to get me this bicycle. And after about 2 or 3 months had passed, they would begin to tell you, boy, you ain't going to get no bicycle. And then just like in life, God makes us promises. And what happens is, as we're carrying around these weights on our shoulders, and it seems like they're getting heavier and heavier by the day, the devil will begin to tell you, God ain't going to keep his promise. Now, if you don't believe me, you can go back to the very first book in the book of Genesis, and God had told man that he would have dominion over everything that creeped and crawled, and all of a sudden, here comes a serpent. And said, well, God ain't gonna really do that. But if you eat of this fruit, you'll become as wise as God. So what happens is somebody right now is trying to take away what's been promised to you. Now, is anybody here willing to wait on your promise? See, someone said, I'm willing to wait because I know that God will show up on time. Now, throughout the Bible, the word promise is a theologically important word. And when we look in the New Testament, we see that in a lot of Paul's writing around Romans chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 3, Paul stresses how unique it is, the relationship that exists between God and mankind. Don't you remember when Paul points out in Romans that human effort sometime cannot get you to where you're trying to get to? See, a lot of us have said, I've been walking in the church all my life, and you're trying to work to get you to get what God has promised you. But see, it belongs to God, and you can't get the promise till the promiser is ready to deliver upon his promise. I know you've been coming to church 52 Sundays a year,
52 Wednesday nights per year, and it seems like nobody's going to fulfill your promise. But I come to tell you tonight that, or today, that the promiser is still sitting on the throne, and he has not forgotten what he promised to you. Does anybody know what God promised you this morning?
I can see God come as he came to Abraham. And when he came to Abraham, he came to Abraham with a statement of what he was going to do. And this statement amounted to what we call a promise. And God had promised Abraham that you shall become a father of many nations, and you will become the father of the faithful. And I'm sure Abraham just simply said, okay, I got you, God. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, that Abraham believed God, and it had been credited to him as being righteousness when we trust God. Now, right now, someone said, I can't be righteous. Well, see, you can't become righteous by your work, but you become righteous by trusting God. Amen. And see, God is able to fulfill every promise that he made you. Look at your relationship with God. Does anybody have a good relationship with God this morning? See, our relationship with God is based on a thing called grace. And see, grace means that God gives me sometimes things that I really don't deserve. See, really, that house that you're living in, that your credit really didn't qualify you for, and the bank said approved, it was nothing but God's grace. Amen. When it seemed like you were down to your last dime, and you were sick and tired of being sick and tired, and then all of a sudden, some breakthrough comes through, it was nothing but grace. And so, let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, God has not forgotten to fulfill his promise, but he's blessed you with things that really belong to somebody else, but his grace allowed it to spread among everybody. Somebody ought to praise God this morning. See, really, we don't eat like we should, but when you went to the doctor and the doctor gave you a favorable checkup report, it wasn't because you exercised like you were supposed to or you ate a nutritious meal, but it was nothing but God's grace. And I thank God for taking care of this whole body. Somebody ought to be saying, God never makes a promise that he can't keep. I'm talking about grace right now. Don't deserve it. The job that you went and applied for, and they told you that it had certain qualifications in order to be able to obtain this job, and when you applied for it, you know that you did not meet the prerequisite, but all of a sudden the telephone rang and said, we called to tell you to come to work in the morning. It was nothing but God's grace. And see, I don't know if you realize or not, but grace is tied up to the promise.
Somebody looking for a promise don't even know what your promise is. I'm coming. The word promise,
it confronts us with the nature of God's word, and it calls us to respond by having faith, which basically says this: faith is what I hope for, but I can't see. Faith is that my pocket is empty, but I'm headed to the grocery store like I got a pocket full. And see, what happens is, the one promise said, my God, what you tripping about this morning, shall supply. And see, the thing I think about God, God gives me that total package. He says, he shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And see, the Bible says that the earth is his. Everything in it belongs to him. The cattle on a thousand hills belong to him. So I've got to walk around waiting on my promise, expecting the promiser to show up whenever he gets ready to bless me. So say, God, whenever you get ready, I'm ready. Whenever you get ready, I'm just waiting. Somebody said, I'm just waiting. Yeah, I'm waiting on Jesus. I promise you he'll show up.
You got to have faith. Even when circumstances look dire. Let me run something by you. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. But whenever you get put in a situation, doubt will come into your mind. Amen. I don't care who you are. I don't care how holy you think you are. When times get rough, doubt will come into your mind. Can I get a witness? Somebody think that sometimes God just ain't going to show up. God, where are you? I've been waiting, and it seemed like you just not showing up. Doubt comes in your mind. Now let me tell you about Brother Abraham here. Here it is now. God has promised him and his wife that they would receive a child. Now the real deal is he's 99 and his wife is 90. Now how hopeful are you? Then he felt like God wasn't going to show up. So they decided to help God out. Amen. That's what's wrong with our churches. We're helping God out. God don't need no help. He's told us how to do stuff. Amen. But see, guess what? God will come through. But instead, you all know the story. He hooked up with his wife's servant. And she had a child. And he became a father. But time out. That wasn't a promise. The promise was that Sarah would have a child. And the first child born was a child by the name of Ishmael. And Ishmael was not the chosen one. I'm sorry. But Abraham thought his time was over. You ever felt that way? Now let me help you. Help you. Don't y'all get mad at Abraham, because you do the same thing. Amen. Don't get mad at Abraham this morning. Sometimes it can get so dark that you get ready to just throw in the towel and say, God, I can't see you or I can't feel you. But in time, tell somebody time. God delivered Abraham, and he delivered his promise. And to prove his trust, watching. Now, how many of us say we trust God? God sent the promise. I'm trying to get through. And the promise was a son by the name of Isaac. But now, we all talk a good game and say, how much I trust God. So God said, I'm finna try you now. Now that you got your son Isaac, and you're shouting like a holy roller every Sunday, I want you to take your son up the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him. See, let me tell you what a sacrifice is. Sacrifice means it may cost you almost your life. How much you trust him now? See, I know you're about dying to your last $5, and you know you didn't pay no tithe this morning, and you know your tithe was $10, but the devil told you, don't you put that $5 in, you better hold on to it. How much do you trust God? See, you're not waiting on the promise, you're waiting on a substitute promise. Ishmael won't get you where Isaac will get you. Yeah. But in time, God will deliver. As I told you, God will never make a promise if he couldn't keep it. This is why folk like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have become favorites of a whole lot of believers in Christ. Don't you remember how Daniel trusted in God's promise, and even in the midst of a lion's den? And who can forget how the Hebrew boys trusted in God's promise even when the heat got turned up? Now, when we first look at Daniel, we all rejoice, but let us take a deep look at their life and their circumstances. See, what happens is circumstances will inform us that trusting in the promise of God ain't always easy. I know we say we waiting on Jesus, but sometimes you get tired of waiting. Anybody here get tired of waiting? Ain't somebody here get tired of waiting beside Pastor? No doubt their faith began to waver, and several times before it finally settled in their mind that God was true to his promise. I'm sure Daniel thought about, I'm about to be dinner for these lions. Yes, even when we trust God, we often can see that the enemy is trying to destroy us. But I can hear Daniel say, I'm going in this lion's den anyway. I can see the Hebrew boys thinking that if we bow, I won't have to go through this trouble, won't have to go through this turmoil of what might kill me. Yes, we know that God can deliver, but what if he doesn't? The devil ever told you that God might not show up? But now, as we get back to our text today, you find that Jeremiah is providing an unpopular word to God's people. A word that was not well received by the priests nor the prophets. A word that informed the people that better days were coming. Watch this. Eventually. And see, sometimes we don't know how to wait on the promise. But in the meantime of while you're waiting on the promise to get there, God told me to tell you, make the best of a bad situation. If life gives you lemon, make lemonade. What he was saying was is that they realized that they couldn't change their circumstances, had to make the best of it. And when we read in our text, Jeremiah said, now, let me tell you what, God has told me to tell you that you're going to be held in captivity. Look at this scripture. 70 years. Now, a lot of folk don't live to be 70, but the promise was that he was going to set them free after how long? Somebody better learn to wait. Talking about some good news, and although false prophets were telling them that ain't no light at the end of the tunnel, Jeremiah said, the other light coming, it's just 70 years away. God wanted them to have to go through something, watch this now, in order to help build something. What God was wanting them to do was to help build the place known as Babylon. And he wanted them to plant some crops, plant some seeds, and sow these seeds in faith till God made a change. That's the reason that David said, weeping might endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I came to tell you this morning, my brothers and sisters, that God is aware of your circumstances. He knows what you're dealing with right now. And he told me, in case he don't show up today, make the best of your situation. Even if it means having to sing a song in the presence of your oppressors. See, that's written in Psalms 137. It says, how can we sing a song in a strange land? Somebody said, we're going to just hang up and get rid of our harp. But David said, no, don't get rid of your harp. Sometimes you just have to play your harp. In other words, what you're saying is, I'm going to praise God, even in the midst of my circumstances. I know it may not look right now. It may not feel right now. But I came to tell you that it's all right. God wanted me to tell you to make the best of your situation. See, the devil can't do anything to you without getting permission from God first. If you don't believe me, can I call a witness by the name of Job? And I can see the devil walking around. And he said, as a servant of yours by the name of Job, and if you would let me just mess with him a little bit, because the only reason that he praises you is because he's a rich man. And I can hear the Lord saying, you can touch anything but his soul. But I promise you, Job's going to come through. Somebody said this morning, there's a promise that's been made to me. Tell somebody that I'm waiting on my promise. I can hear Job saying, all the days of my appointed time, I'm going to wait until the Lord comes. And see, right now, God has made you some promises. He's already told you that I will supply all your needs according to your riches in glory. Do you have everything that you need? Then if you haven't, I can tell you, hold on and wait on the promise. And then I look over in 3 John, and I can hear him saying, above all things, I would that you prosper and be in health. Right now, are you prosperous? Right now, are you healthy? That's nothing but a promise that God made you. I'm so glad that God is able to keep on keeping his promises. See, when folk plot against you, you can just keep on looking for the promise. See, right now, I can look at Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, and a promise said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you shall be caught up and condemned in judgment. When you're feeling lonely, just call on the promise. When you're feeling depressed, just call on the promise. When you're feeling sick, just call on the promise. When you're ready to give up, just call on the promise. Somebody said, what's a good promise? When you're feeling lonely, just call on the promise. I can hear him saying, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I won't ever abandon you. And he said, cast all your care upon me, because I care for you. Does anybody here know what the promise said? I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting on my promise. When it seems like all your resources have run out, just remember that if he'll feed the little bitty bird, my God can feed you. He becomes clothes for the ground called grass. He becomes clothes for the tree called weed. And I know that my God is able. Tell somebody, he's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. If you ever begin to feel weak, I can hear the scripture saying, and you shall receive power. Anybody here need some power? Tell somebody, I need some power. Well, after the Holy Ghost has come up on you, you can get some power. Anybody here sick? The doctor walked away from your bed. But I can look in James chapter 5, verse 15, and I can see a promise. He said, if anybody among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Pray, anoint you with oil. Pray the prayer of faith, and the sick shall recover. That ain't nothing but a promise. God will, God will, God will show up, and he'll give you his promise. Just wait on Jesus, and everything will be all right. Don't give up. Don't give in. Help is on the way. Anybody here waiting on the promise? God will. God will. Yeah, I feel my help coming. God will show up and show out. I can see him at a wedding of Cana of Galilee. All the wine had run out at the wedding, and somebody said, the party is over. But then Jesus showed up. He said, just fill the pot with water. And they began to taste the water, and the water was turned to wine. I tell you, God will, God will, God will show up on time. I can see them, the 5,000, sitting out on the hill. And somebody said, we don't have enough to feed them. We might as well send them away But I come to tell you this morning that God, he won't send you away. I can hear Jesus say, tell him to sit down. I got this. He said, bring me the two fish. Bring me the five barley loaves of bread. And I can hear him saying a grace over and said, Father in heaven, I need you to multiply this food. I need you to bless it exceedingly and abundantly above everything they could even expect. And after a while, they passed out the food. They fed 5,000. Then they looked and said, this ain't counting the women and children. Then they fed the women and children. And when they got through, I can hear them saying, Jesus, what we gonna do with this leftover? We ain't got no refrigerator out here in the wilderness. I just come to tell you that my God is a God of overflow. I'm living in the overflow. I tell you, I can hear David say, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I can hear the promise keeper coming. I can tell you, he won't lie to you. Yeah, 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 I feel my help coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And right now, God made me a promise. He told me, some glad morning, when this life is over, I'm going to fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'm going to fly away. I can hear the scripture saying, he's coming back through the cloud. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive that remain shall be caught up forever to be with the Lord. That's a promise. And see, somebody said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to see my mama. Somebody said, I'm going to see my daddy. But I tell you, when I see Jesus, the man that died for me, the one that died for me, that got up early, it was a promise. He got up early on the third day morning. And see, when I get to heaven, it's going to be a switch of scenery. It's going to become a praise fest, 24-hour praising. If you can't stay for an hour and a half down here, you don't want the promise. We're going to praise him 24-7. Hallelujah to the Father. Hallelujah to the Son. Hallelujah to the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that he's a promise keeper. Yeah, God will. God will. God will. He will tell somebody he'll show up on time. On time. On time. And you know what? Every time I get up every morning, I don't worry about where the next meal's coming from. You know why? Because Jesus, tell somebody, Jesus, Mary's baby, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000. He promised that he would take care of me. And God is able, God is able, God is able to deliver on his promise. I feel all right now. I feel all right now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I feel all right now. And one of these old days, one of these old days, God's going to fulfill his promise. He's going to come back for a church without a spot or wrinkle. God promised. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. And when he comes back, he's going to rock me in the cradle of his arms. Yeah. Yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Yeah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's been so good. He's been so good. He's been so good. I can't help but praise him. He's all right. He will. He promised. that he would take care of me. Don't have to worry about tomorrow, because I know who got tomorrow in the hollow of his hand. And if I don't live to see tomorrow, that's all right, because my mind is fixed. My business is fixed. My mind is made up. You can come on right now if you want to, Jesus. Because you promised. Jesus promised. Jesus promised that he will take good care of you. The invitation is given. And if somebody here is looking for the promise, you can have it today. Jesus promised that he would take care of us. Let's all stand. All right.